Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to the Munkin' St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I mean, I don't know if you block off Market Street just yet, but the Cardinals are in the race. They're in it. They're two games out in the Central. They're in the wild card race. I wouldn't clear your October just yet, but I would keep an eye on things because there's a long way to go. There's 47 games left. Cardinals are two out. They take on the Pirates today. Mike Schilt joining us in 10 minutes and a little better picture after 2 days against the NL Central's worst team than it was against the best team in the National League. The Dodgers took care of the Cardinals. Even though those were some close games, they beat them. Beat them three straight. Cardinals had no offense. The Cardinals responded on Friday night against the Pirates with some offense. And then last night, the Cardinals and the Pirates at Busch Stadium. Let's get the latest from our broadcasters to kick things off.
Well, they're going to talk a lot about the Cardinals' sixth inning yesterday, but how about Adam Wainwright? He was really something.
He gave him a chance. He made a mistake early, the first pitch of the game, and he settled in, Mike, and he had a really good strikeout ball working for him last night. But overall, I thought the bullpen bailed him out again, but what can you say other than Tommy Edman?
Tommy Edman's with a double, and then they threw it away, and he scored. And that was the winning run. And he's just a winner all the way around.
He makes things happen. He pushes the envelope. He makes the other team have to do things they're uncomfortable with. And we saw it last night.
As he got that double, he scored on the air. And he hesitated going around second base, stopped at second. And then they threw it away, and he came in to score. And the Cardinals beat Pittsburgh 3-1. They'll go for the sweep today behind Miles Michaelis.
And it was Adam Wainwright working yesterday.
It's all about getting your body in the correct positions to throw the ball, and when I'm lined up and timed up well, I can still get a couple miles an hour on the fastball, and when I'm not, I don't. I just try to make pitches. But tonight I was timed up well, and Wieters and I did a good job. We worked on the corners pretty well, worked up and down well. So it's a tough lineup over there. There's some really good young players, and you got to make pitches.
The NL Central is good. I mean, the Reds just destroyed the Cubs yesterday. The Reds are a team absolutely to watch. They are six games out in the Central, and while you might roll your eyes that the Cardinals are only two out, the Reds are six out, and they seem like they're on the move, don't they? The Reds just annihilated the Cubs yesterday, and they have a rookie, Aristides Aquino. He homered in his first three at-bats. He has put on an amazing power display. He's led the Reds over the Cubs in this game 10-1, and he's the first Major League rookie to homer in three consecutive innings in one game. Seven home runs in his first 10 games. That ties a Major League record. Trevor Story did it with the Rockies in 2016. Suddenly, the Cincinnati Reds, who made an aggressive move at the deadline by getting Trevor Bauer, are looking like a contender if they can keep it going. Right now, they still have a record under 500, but if they were to make it in somehow, they would be tough because the first three starters in their rotation are really good. I mean, Castillo and Gray and Bauer, I wouldn't want to deal with them. The Reds are four games behind the Cardinals. They're six out in the Central, three games under 500. They've won back-to-back games. The hottest team in baseball right now is the New York Mets. They just can't be stopped. They win any way they possibly can. They've won eight in a row now, and they are seven games out in the East, but it's the wild card to watch. The Mets are tied with the Cardinals, both a half game out of the wild card spot in the National League. The Mets are just a team to be reckoned with right now. They continue to win games, and they did it yesterday. The Mets on top yesterday as they continue to roll. City Field's just been a great place to be. They need to pack that place as the Mets fans should be back and roaring again. They beat the Nationals 4-3 in a big division game. So the NL East has the Braves up 6.5 on the Nationals and the Mets 7 back, the Phillies 8 back. But again, that wild card, something to watch for the Mets, who are tied with the Cardinals now, a half game out of a wild card spot, both of those teams winning yesterday. Mike Trout hit the first home run of his career at Fenway Park. The Angels snapped an eight-game losing streak with a 12-4 rout of the Red Sox. Justin Upton added a three-run homer in the first inning. So how it looks in the American League, the Yankees lead the Rays by 8.5. The Red Sox are 15 out. The Yankees have just been dominating. But the Red Sox are very much involved in the wild card if they can get their act together. The wild card has the Indians and the Rays leading the way with Oakland 1.5 back, Boston 6.5 out of a wild card. But if they could pick up the pace, they might be able to get themselves back into it. Otherwise, this is going to be Yankees, Twins, Astros, and then everybody else. The Astros just slaughtered the Orioles yesterday, 23-2. It just doesn't even seem fair right now. Anybody who plays the Orioles, especially a team that good, 23-2, they scored 23 runs against the Baltimore Orioles. That's a brief look at baseball. A couple of things also to keep an eye on would be the minor league organization for the Cardinals, because I mentioned that we're going to talk to John Mozeliak at 11:30, and he will give us an update on Yadier Molina, who is expected to be back on Tuesday against the Royals. That's not official yet, but things are certainly trending that way as Yadi has been rehabbing down in Springfield. Springfield was a 3-2 winner over Arkansas yesterday, and Molina was 0-2. He did drive in a run. He struck out in his rehab stint down in Springfield. In Memphis, however, well, if you wrote off Harrison Bader, now this is just against minor league competition, keep in mind now. However, the Memphis Redbirds won at Fresno 12-3, and Harrison Bader had himself a day. He had a monster day, a two-run homer and a three-run homer. He was 2-for-3. He scored 3 runs, 5 RBIs, now hitting .275 down in the minors. Randy Arozarena went wild again, 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored. He's hitting .374. I will talk to John Mozeliak about Arozarena and when we might be able to see him, maybe sooner than you think. So we'll hear from the president of baseball operations on the way. Again, that is coming up at 11:30. Jake Woodford for Memphis pitched 6 innings, allowed 2 runs on 5 hits, and walked 2 and struck out 6 in that game for the Memphis Redbirds. They're a team certainly to watch, especially when you consider what Daniel Ponce de Leon has been doing down there. Ponce de Leon is, I think, a candidate for the rotation once again, but he's been really good. He's had a couple of good starts, and the Friday start was the big one. He struck out 11. He walked no one. He allowed 2 hits. Memphis won at Sacramento 15-0. Ponce de Leon had a 1.99 ERA for the Cardinals, but then he started to run into some trouble, so Michael Wacha took his spot in the rotation. We'll ask Mozeliak about the rotation. We'll ask Mike Schild about the rotation, what it could look like here in the coming weeks. He is next at 10:15. KMOX News Time is 10:12. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX.
Welcome to the Napleton Auto Group Manager Show with Mike Schilt. Napleton Auto Group, second to none since 1931. NapletonSTL.com.
Birthday weekend for Mike Schilt. The Cardinals manager is with us. Sports on a Sunday morning and the Mike Schilt Show. How are you, Mike?
Doing great, Tom. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Happy birthday. I know it's been a good weekend for you so far.
Yeah, it has been. I'm very blessed and enjoying the weekend.
And then from a baseball standpoint, your team has turned it on a little bit. Friday, I thought the one thing that was really enjoyable was to see a little breakout offensively, and it didn't have to do with runners in scoring position necessarily or any sort of situation. It was just guys, big boys, hitting the ball and getting the job done.
Yeah, you know, it's a good point, Tom. It's great. You know, we in a battle, back and forth, 2-2 game, and, you know, we're able to put up a 4 spot in that eighth and bring it home in the ninth. So that was a great sign, obviously, in the middle of the lineup contributing, you know, with Ozuna's big, Goldie's big, you know, RBI single to break the tie. Ozuna's 2-run homer and, you know, carve sack fly. It was good to see the big boys do some damage.
That's certainly what you need. And then, you know, looking at that game on Friday and kind of, you know, going along is with you and your decisions, in that fourth inning, so Dakota Hudson gets through that fourth, but he had there was an opportunity for you to bring in a pinch hitter, and you did that. And Jose Martinez struck out to end that fourth inning. But was that a little bit of a sign from you saying, hey, look, we need to bust out here. We need to score some runs. Let's make something happen.
Yeah, it was kind of a perfect storm to be able to do that. And, you know, I've let Dakota rightfully, you know, pitch deeper in games. He's earned that opportunity. He's been in similar situations. You know, it was a 2-2 game in the fourth. I mean, it wasn't like he was pitching poorly. But, you know, he just wasn't able to command the ball as much as he would have liked. And we had a really fresh bullpen was a factor that, you know, allowed us to do it. And then, to your point, you know, we're sitting there and got two runs on the board, but we got a guy that can do some damage off the bench with the chance with first and second to take the lead. And we got a very rested bullpen, which was a benefit of Miles going into the seventh, the second game in L.A., and then Jack going seven, and then the day off. So, you know, we had the innings and the guys we felt that could, you know, comfortably hold them right there. And so that's what made that decision, you know, a lot easier. But usually those variables don't add up like that.
Right. Tyler Webb pitched an inning and a third of scoreless ball after Dakota. John Brebbia with an inning and two-thirds struck out three in his scoreless work. And then Andrew Miller and Carlos Martinez finished the job, Mike. Two-thirds for Miller, an inning and a third for Carlos. Significant in that a couple days earlier, that Wednesday game against Russell Martin, where you weren't able to score earlier runs to give you a bigger lead, but with a 1-0 lead in the ninth, you didn't execute and lost the game 2-1. And it just seemed out of character for Andrew Miller and Carlos Martinez to hit batters and throw wild pitches.
Yeah, you know, it was uncharacteristic. Had those days, right? Clearly don't enjoy them, but they happen. You know, Jack was stellar, and a lot of other superlatives that, you know, could be associated with that outing. And Gio had a clean eighth. But it's hard to bring a 1-run game home, you know, 1-0 game home sometimes, especially against the, you know, good offensive club, and got the first hitter in Bellinger, and then you know, didn't execute after that, and that was a tough one.
It was tough, and I said this on the air after the game. I said the next 48 hours are going to tell you a lot about this Cardinals team, what kind of team they are. Are they going to just fade away, or are they going to get up off the canvas and play some ball? And you've done that Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, that's what this team does, Tom. I mean, it's a team that's going to play and going to answer the bell, you know, regardless what the circumstances are. And, you know, obviously, rough road trip, frustrating in a couple of senses because we beat ourselves a few games, and then just played well and lost a couple of games. And, you know, but it just added up to a little tough stretch. But this group's going to show up, and, you know, it's duck on the water on a duck's back a little bit. You know, we don't forget. We want to move forward. We want to grow. But we also don't want to get bogged down if we're going really well, or, you know, we not going as well. So showed up first game of the series and, you know, just went about playing baseball.
You did. And then let's get to last night's game. First inning, Adam Wainwright on the mound.
Outfield of Ozuna in left, Fowler in center, and Edmund the right fielder as the big right-hander throws, and a swing and a fly ball deep into right field. This is going to leave the park, and Pittsburgh leads 1-0. Now, that's not the way you want to start it, but I'll tell you, that breaks an 0-for-18 as far as Frazier is concerned. And there wasn't any doubt about that one either.
Yeah, he homers off Wainwright, and, you know, Wainwright kind of chuckled after the game and said, that guy's just got my number. It just seems like every time I face him, it's either a walk or a home run.
You know what? I appreciate, obviously, Waino's honesty there, but what ultimately appreciate was how well he competed. I just got through talking to Clininger, Toronto, one of our bullpen catchers, about the game yesterday, and he just had such a great point, you know, about, I mean, Waino, first pitch, home run, and after that, he just got after it. And, you know, you expect that from Waino, but still nice to see how he stayed in attack mode, stayed aggressive, continued to control counts, which really engaged our defense, and he was rewarded by some really good defensive play.
Sure was. Here he is, fifth inning.
1-0 delivery for Marte from Adam Wainwright. Swing and a base hit. Oh, a diving, a leaping catch by the Cardinals shortstop. And that's the second out. Boy, Marte hit a bullet.
He did. Marte hammered that thing. And Paul DeJong with a terrific catch, Mike. What a play that was.
What a play. And, you know, I think he doesn't get enough credit for being as athletic as he is. He makes some plays like that, excuse me, fairly consistently that, you know, you go, man, that's a heck of a play. But that was a heck of a play for sure, and clearly a big play with the bases loaded.
Mike, he almost, just to go back to Wednesday, the Russell Martin hit that bounced three times through, he almost got to that ball. It was a great effort. I don't know, I'm trying to remember where he was positioned and how far he had to go, but that was some outstretched play by DeJong.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was, that game wasn't meant to be ours, evidently, because that was a, you know, 97, 98, whatever the velocity was, ball that, you know, he just happened to hit in the right spot, three hopper that felt like it was just in slow motion. But Paulie's, you know, he wasn't. He was got off the ball well and got over and did the best he could to get to it. But, you know, he couldn't have hit a fungo any better.
Yeah, he knocks that down. The game stays tied. Instead, it slips through. Thomas threw home but unable to get the runner. But anyway, going back to Saturday's game, it's the play by DeJong, and this always seems to happen. Now here comes a big moment, and Adam Wainwright takes a deep breath. He's facing Josh Bell.
Here's the pitch to him. Strike three called. He painted the inside corner with a fastball. Wow. Tell you what, when he spots that fastball, has confidence in it, he's something else.
I love that comment from Mike Shannon there. He spots that fastball and has confidence in it. He's something else, said Mike.
Yeah, that's well said. We always appreciate Shannon's observations. They're always spot on and so true. You know, Jack displayed that. Wayno displayed it last night, alluded to it. Miles has displayed it. You know, our relievers have displayed it. You know, confidence in that fastball, manning it, and then working your pitches off that. It's a winning combination.
Absolutely. So in the sixth, he comes back and he gets Osuna and Moran to ground out. He gives up a single to Newman, but then Stallings pops out and the inning is over. So we go to the bottom of the sixth. Dexter Fowler singles to left, and then he's out at second on the throw. That was challenged, and the call was upheld. I've watched that thing over and over. He looks pretty safe to me. I don't know how much you can say without getting in trouble, but he looks pretty safe to me.
Yeah, I had an initial response to it that I don't think I, you know, maybe should have kept my mouth shut on that one in real time. But, yeah, you know, you can't argue with the phone in New York, so you just sit there and wear it. But I was a little bit miffed. Watching it in real time, hearing the feedback we're getting from Chad Blair, our video technician in charge of our review, but the conviction of being how he was safe. But, you know, obviously they didn't feel like it was enough to overturn it.
And so there's one out, and here's Tommy Edman.
Swinging a line drive in the right center. That's going to get down, and it's going to go to the wall for extra bases. He's going to try for, he stops at second. And it is a one-out double. And now he's going to go to third. They threw it away, and it goes into the dugout, so he'll score, and the Cardinals take the lead 2-1. How about that? This kid, he's a winner, I'll tell you that. So it's a double, and then they'll charge an error to someone.
And the game just seems to reward those winners, doesn't it? Tommy Edman, that was crazy. But he circles the bases on that play, Mike.
Yeah, you know what? I felt like the day before the ball that he hit that got by the right fielder, that he just put the gas down and got to third base, put pressure on the defense. Had a residual effect yesterday. You know, he's getting after it, and, you know, they know he's a, you know, high effort guy that runs well. So, you know, they felt like they needed to make a throw to third and, you know, got away from and fortunately for us got in the dugout and got us a big go-ahead run.
Big one. 2-1 Cardinal lead, and then here come the big boys we talked about. Paul Goldschmidt with a hit. Marcelo Zuna next.
Swing and a bullet into the left field corner. That may score Goldschmidt. He's around second, digs for third, and they'll hold him up there on a double. And that's four hits in a row.
Pirates come in, make a pitching change. They bring in Francisco Liriano to face Paul DeJong.
Good swinging a ground ball to the shortstop, and he can't make a play. He was going to throw home, but he doesn't. So it's an infield RBI single. And the score, Goldschmidt.
And the score is 3-1, the Cardinal lead. And then after Matt Carpenter drops down a bunt, Marcell Ozuna tries to score, and he's thrown out at home. I watched that, and I'm like, oh, Marcell, don't do that. What was your view of that? I know he's hustling towards home, runs into an out.
Yeah, I got to respectfully disagree with you, Tom. Love the play. Yep. Don't love the result, but absolutely love the play. You know, Carp made a decision to bunt and saw something, but you got a catcher coming out, vacates the play, makes a throw. You know, Bell, we feel like, you know, if we can push him a little bit when he has to throw, we will. And then he's got to retreat. And, you know, he's thrown out. They made a play. But you got a vacated base. You got a guy making a play, retreating with catcher gear on. You made him make a play. I thought the play was great. You know, we talk about aggressiveness and being smart. We've done a really, really good job of this all year. But you know, you got to push sometimes. And I applaud guys to see an opportunity and go do it. Championship players are aggressive players. There's no guarantee it's going to work. But you know, clearly you don't want to make the out there at the plate. But you know, heck, he saw an opportunity and went for it. And we want to encourage that. Guys are able to do that and use their instincts.
Yeah, and I hear you on that. You know, and again, my initial reaction was, but then I watched it again, and I know it's Marcell Ozuna, and I know what he likes to do. And even, you know, Jim Edmonds on the telecast said, I like the hustle. I like that. And, you know, you respect somebody who's been in the game that long, and you as well, in seeing that. Marcell Ozuna is going to be Marcell Ozuna, and as you said, a winning player is going to try to make a play and make something happen.
Yeah, you know, and then you get it. You know, look, and the high moment myself was like, oh my gosh.
Right.
but, you know, I looked at him, I was like, and he came in the dugout and we talked about it. I was like, man, that was a great play. You know, just keep playing the game. And, you know, again, we don't want to be reckless, but I didn't feel like that was overly reckless. I thought that was a really good opportunity and you forced them to make a play and they made the play. And so, but, you know, you got the lead, and, you know, it's a good time to push a little bit.
And then your bullpen takes care of business. Giovanni Gallegos, my goodness, 2 1/3 for him this time. His ERA is now at 1.96. Carlos closes it out, and the Cardinals win the game 3-1 on some excellent bullpen work. What a story this has been. Giovanni Gallegos, for a while there, the forgotten man in the Luke Voit trade. No one's forgotten him now. He is a force.
Yeah, but he's been outstanding. He really has. He's, man, he's pitched well and really pitched well in high leverage situations. And, you know, last night comes in 2-run lead, really quick, efficient 7th, really quick, efficient 8th. You know, Carlos has been getting some work in. You know, Gio's really good against lefties. He had, you know, 2 days off prior to yesterday, 2 days off prior to that work. So he's fresh is my point. We know he's going to get a day off and then built in off day on Monday. So, and he was at 17 pitches going into the 9th. He's good against lefties and look to get an out there on Moran to save some bullets for Carlos and did a great job. And Carlos was really sharp and got after it for 2 quick outs.
Carlos with 6 pitches and gets it done. Gallegos threw 19 pitches, 15 were strikes. He is just nails. And the Cardinals win the game 3-1. Long segment there, Mike. We had a lot to get to. We'll take a break. I'll ask you a few more questions and we'll be rolling. I also want to play for you what Barry Odom said. So after the loss on Wednesday, I had the Mizzou football coach call in and give a little pep talk to you and the Cardinals. You'll hear what he had to say. I think you'll like this. It's coming up. It's 10:33. It's the Mike Schilt Show. It's sponsored by Napleton Automotive Group.
Welcome back to the Napleton Auto Group Manager Show with Mike Schilt. Napleton Auto Group, second to none since 1931. NapletonSTL.com.
I'm Tom Ackerman. It's 10:37. Barry Odom, the Mizzou football coach, coming up at 10:50. Until then, we have Mike Schilt for a little longer. He is at Busch Stadium before the Cardinals-Pirates game. Cards going for the sweep today. They're two games out in the NL Central, but after losing to the Dodgers on Wednesday afternoon, they sat 3.5 out. It was a tough loss, a painful one. And I had Barry Odom, the Mizzou football coach, on live right after the game and asked him to give the team a little pep talk, and here's what he said.
I heard you say the Cards are 3.5 out, so I don't know how many they have left to play, but there's plenty of time, okay? There's plenty of time to get it done, just not any time to waste. So let's go to work, go get the next one. Find a way to be on the right side of things when the next one's over.
And you did get the next one, and the one after that. And Barry Odom, the head coach of the Tigers, is a fan of your team, Mike Schilt.
Well, that's good to hear. That's good to hear. We appreciate the support very much.
He's
a nice message.
Yeah, he's a good man. He reminds me of you a little bit, a lifer with Mizzou and somebody who's really learned a lot within the organization, and now he has taken over the team and has been the coach. Now this is his fourth year. That team's going to be pretty good. Your team, I think, looking forward to today and taking a peek at your lineup, which has been provided to me. I see Tommy at the top of the order. I see Lane Thomas in there as well. He'll be playing in center field against a lefty pitcher, Mike.
Yeah, you know, we got Lane in there. Good to see him get an opportunity and play, and he's done a nice job. And you know, the lefty helps with the lineup, getting him in there and create some opportunity for Lane. So I'm excited to see him go out there and play.
I see Jairo Munoz in there as well, getting a shot at third base. How's he been?
He's been great. You know, Jairo's played well pretty much all year, done a nice job. And, you know, with Carps coming back, it's limited some opportunities for Jairo, but always like him when he's in there created opportunity for him today.
Andrew Kisner getting another crack at catcher, and the time is coming for Yadier Molina. Looks like that's right around the corner.
Yeah, that should be, you know, he's going to finish up today in Springfield at the DH catch, but yeah, he's feeling good. Talk to him, and he's got the appropriate amount of at-bats, and he's definitely very, really close.
You've got a lot of people down in the minors making things happen. A couple of players to keep an eye on. Daniel Ponce de Leon. He strikes out 11 the other day, Mike. That's good to hear, isn't it?
It's great to hear. You know, I mean, that's what Ponce is capable of. And, you know, no walks and 11 strikeouts and 7 innings. And, you know, he's capable of going deep into games when he controls counts. And, you know, the strikeouts are great. We love him, clearly. But, you know, it's really, if he can keep that walk total to zero or somewhere close, he'll be a very effective pitcher regardless of what league he's in. It's just about being consistent, being able to do it.
Yeah, getting those innings in and getting that pitch count at a good amount. And then your rotation, I guess you have an opportunity here with these off days to roll with what you're doing and see what happens after that.
That's correct.
So we'll roll a lot right along. Miles Michael is starting today. As you've been working with Adam Wainwright yesterday, and the Cardinals will be playing the Pirates today in a matchup at 1:15. Another player to keep an eye on is Harrison Bader. Now, Bader bashes a couple of home runs yesterday. What are the reports that you're getting on his work down in Memphis?
Yeah, you know, he's getting back to getting those bats he needed. You know, he just didn't have the opportunity to create those consistent at bats, and he was getting some. You know, he's getting his at-bats, just one or two, you know, every other game or a game, and just wasn't enough for him. So it's good to get down. Plus, you know, he had some things candidly just to work on in his swing, you know, and a little bit of his approach. So get down there, play, lesser stress environment. Feel free to make your own adjustments, work on some things. And, you know, clearly he's been able to do some positive things and hope we continue to trend that way.
Staying on the farm, what about Tyler O'Neill? What are we hearing about him?
He had an injection day before yesterday. It's about a 48-hour to 72-hour. Where that going to get out of there and feel like he's got the benefit of the injection and then get back to baseball activity? So, you know, our hope is another day or so he's recovered from it and can resume some activities and then get out and get some at-bats.
I know I ask you about Randy or Rosarena. I ask Mozeliak about him all the time. I mean, he's not up, and the reason is there doesn't seem to be a lot of room for him. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think that's really pretty clear. You know, we've got Ozuna back.
and Dexter's played well. And, you know, Eddie's done a nice job when he's been out in right field, and Hosey's done a nice job when he's out there. And, you know, got Lane, who's done a really respectful job. And, you know, if you bring a guy like that up, you would, you know, think that he would, you know, maybe play every day. And those that opportunity just isn't available right now. And he's had a nice stretch where he's played really well. And, you know, I know I'm sure he is ready to get up here. And, but, you know, I don't think coming off the bench is his best situation right now and getting him limited at bat. So we'll just let him keep playing, and need arises, he'll be available.
And finally, and I appreciate all these updates on players, Junior Fernandez, we haven't seen him yet. Is it still probably having a comfortable lead, that kind of a situation where you'd see the big man out there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people ask. I think it's interesting, you know. When you're going to use him, how you're going to use him, and I get it. There's some excitement about Junior, and he's got a big arm and got good secondary pitches, and people want to see him. You know, since he's been here, we've literally played one-run games every single time out, and we've had the guys that, you know, have done a really good job in our bullpen, and we expect Junior to do a good job, but everybody's got a role, and Junior's role hasn't materialized yet, and you know when it does, he'll pitch.
And just to go back to the pitching question, I've asked you about this before, but the opener, what is your thought on it? Is it, if you were to use an opener, would you base that partly on matchups? So let's say a team of lefties comes at you, you come at them with somebody who's effective against lefties and move on from there, if you were to go that route?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the way that makes the most sense. I mean, my thought process with the opener, we've talked about it more, just so you and everyone knows, we've gotten deeper into what it looks like, how it can be utilized, obviously when, who, and, you know, the general explanation of when, to your point, is, you know, you're facing a team that you know is going to have you're going to have favorable matchups. You can take an inning or two off the board, and that's what the game's about. You know, and I get the concept more. You know, we like our starters. You know, there's maybe an opportunity to use one as we move forward in certain circumstances, to where we say there's lefties, maybe Tyler Webb goes out there and pitches, and then we go from there. And but we've explored it, and perhaps do it soon, perhaps not.
And just to make clear, so somebody who would seem to fit that really well, a starter who doesn't go a lot of innings, Carlos Martinez, but he's your closer, right?
Yeah, I was asked this question yesterday, and the one thing that, you know, I manage it every day. I look at it and, got a card on my desk. You know, managing the bullpen's a big part of the job, and it's interesting to me that people – and I'm not saying you're doing this, Tom, but just
right.
People live in the now, in the today's game. That's not how bullpens get run. I mean, they are. If it was available, you run it to win the game, and you take your shot. And, you know, as Galen Fitz, we call him Chief, longtime Cardinal, and would say, you know, tomorrow it might rain. You never know. But my point I'm getting at, like, Carlos, okay, let him spot start. Well, that's great. Well, same thing with any opener. You know, we mentioned Webb earlier as a you know, example. Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. But now you got to manage your bullpen differently to make sure he's available 2 days or at least 1 day prior to that. The way I kind of foresee the opener is if the guy goes out and gets outs, he goes back out and gets outs, and then the starter comes in, he might come in a little dirty in an inning. That's the way it's most efficient, I think. But then guess what happens? Now that same reliever's down for another day or two. So you budgeted for 2 days, which affects the other components of your bullpen, because everybody's got a spot, you know, and the spots change every day. And but if you do that and you're doing that with Carlos, yeah, you might get two to three innings, which I don't think three is really a reasonable thing to ask because he hasn't really done it. But once getting to the third inning, because he was efficient, and lower leverage innings that other people could get. And then you look up and you take somebody out of the mix for 3 to 5 days, and you got 3 to 5 games where you could save them in higher leverage situations. I just, that recipe doesn't add up to me.
That's a great explanation and a real understanding into how a bullpen is managed, but also how you look ahead to games. Like you said, we're not, you know, in the now all the time. I mean, in anything for that matter, for the front office or for the field staff.
Yeah, and that's a balancing act, and I get it. I mean, listen, we know there's a game today. It's an important game. We're going to give everything we've got, obviously. You know, we've got our bullpen. We'll figure out who's available today. But you just, you know, you're just judicious with how you use guys. And, you know, they can't pitch every day. So the roles change. For example, we've had, thankfully, you know, deep starts in 3 of our last 4 games, which has allowed us to really, really match up like we'd like towards the end of games and keep guys fresh and extend guys appropriately, which has affected Junior Fernandez in ultimately a pretty positive way, you know, in the sense that, you know, we hadn't have to force him to pitch in a situation that, you know, it may be unreasonable to expect. Now, I think Junior's going to be great. But to throw him in a one-run game and, you know, in a pennant race in the eighth inning or tie game to make your debut is a little bit of a tough ask when you have other guys that have been toting that mail.
Really good stuff, Mike. Appreciate it very much. Have a great rest of your day. Go get that sweep and safe travels to Kansas City.
Sounds great, Tom. Appreciate it as always. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too. There's Mike Schilt, the Cardinals manager, with us. We'll take a break. Come back. Barry Odom, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Napleton Auto Group Manager Show with Mike Schilt. Napleton Auto Group, second to none since 1931. NapletonSTL.com.
Tom Ackerman with you. Thanks again to Mike Schilt for being with us. I recently had Barry Odom, the Mizzou football coach, call into the show after a tough loss to the Dodgers to wrap up that series.
What's up, Tom? Thanks for having time to allow me to join you guys. And I think I heard you say the Cards are 3.5 out, so I don't know how many they have left to play, but there's plenty of time, okay? There's plenty of time to get it done, just there's not any time to waste. So let's go to work, go get the next one, and find a way to be on the right side of things when the next one's over.
But, that's exactly.
We've right in the middle of fall camp. It's been a great. We had practice number 5 today, continuing to make progress in every area with our program and our organization, and it's a fun time of year for us building this team.
I bet it is. That's exactly what we needed to hear, by the way, a little pep talk from you. And I'm sure that you've had several meetings and talks with your players, both on the field and in the team meetings in that beautiful new facility on the south end zone. What do you think of your team? When you look them in the eye, what do you see?
Well, I look at the things of mental toughness, and that's where I'm going to build the inside out of the 2019 team, because that's going to carry us. It's going to carry us. When we have some adversity, it's going to carry us when things are going really well. You know, the ability to play the next snap, the ability to prepare the way you need to prepare to go play your best, because if you prepare and your habits align with what you want, what you set out your vision to be, if they do those things, then your game day habit or your habits will show up every game day, and your everyday habits, they show up in crunch time, they show up. And the only way to do that is be so consistent and so demanding in your habits that you have right now in every aspect. And that's from your sleep habits, from your diet, from hydration, from film preparation, from extra study, from the things that we do and walk through. All of those things matter. And if we take care of our best in every situation, then we're going to be right where we need to be. So that's the grind of where we are right now. We talk about the winning process all the time. It's a process of how we go about training this team and building the team, the foundation of who we are, the culture that we've got set within our locker room with the leadership of our senior class on down. I'm really excited about the way that we're going to go perform this year.
Some big playmakers on offense, and 2 of them suffered injuries. Looks like they were back and ready to roll today. Tell us about your tight end, Albert O, and your quarterback, Kelly Bryant. How are they doing?
I think they both kind of got tired practicing a couple of days ago and just needed to take a break and have some lemonade. So they went out with a quote-unquote injury. You know, very precautionary. They were both back today and didn't miss a snap, which is awesome. You know, I joked around a little bit that they went and asked the local church for some holy water. We spread that on them, and it ended up they went out and had a great day of practice. It was our best day. It was Albert's best day that he's had in camp. Kelly the same way. So, you know, I think we've got an opportunity to be a really good football team. We also need to be healthy, but there's a fine line there. You've got to push and push and push to get your guys in position to be able to go play four quarters. And also the realization of, you know, if you're not a starter right now, you better train and prepare like you are, because you're one snap away from being the starter and being the guy. So a lot of lessons within that. And, you know, there's going to probably, unfortunately, there's going to be some injuries, you know, either go through the course of starting in August and ending in December or January. In this game, there are going to be some injuries. So that's why all of our habits are so important, that we practice smart. We do the things we need to protect each other, but also take care of ourselves when we're not on the practice field to get ourselves ready to go play.
That's Barry Odom, a full hour of guests next on KMOX.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.